What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
We were talking on Friday about, you know, slow news day and everything like that. And obviously the Falcons made a move over the weekend, firing the defensive coordinator, which nobody's shocked by.
No.
Like somebody had to pay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It went the way we said it was going to go. Like, it was Monday, right? The day after the loss to Carolina, where they gave up 44 points to the Carolina Panthers in a must-win game.
Right.
You're going to fire the defensive coordinator after that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know what changed between Monday and Saturday. Like, they dig into it, and now I know what happened.
You don't have to answer questions.
Yeah, exactly. So we talked about it last week, and we said what they were going to do, and then they did it. So,
right.
I mean, I don't know. If saying it is the wrong thing to do, I mean, okay, but that's what happened. I got a couple questions on Twitter. Is like, why do people care about when they did it, as long as they did it? It's like, I don't really care, honestly. It's just, I know why they did that.
Right.
Because they had Raheem's press conference on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
They had Terry Fontenot's press conference on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want to answer questions about it.
Yeah.
They want to answer, like, actual questions about why you did it. The speculative questions of, are you going to do it, are very easy to parry and be like, we're in our process.
Yes,
exactly. We've got to evaluate and blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
They knew.
Yeah, exactly.
They knew they were firing that man.
Yeah.
They didn't want to talk about it. And okay, fine. I mean, I don't know what the thought process is as far as like what's gained by doing that. Like, do you think that the fan base is now less aware of the failings of the defense?
No, because
you didn't answer questions about it directly after the season?
This is
now the third defensive coordinator in 4 years under Terry Fontenot, by the way. So maybe it's not the defensive coordinator's fault.
Maybe it's the guy who's supposed to give the defensive coordinator a good player.
Maybe it's the personnel.
Yeah, and that goes back to you need dudes also. You need dudes. You can talk about scheme and 3-4, 4-3 and all that crap. You got dudes. It don't matter what damn scheme you do, especially in this damn league. In the National Football League, you need dudes. You need those different-making guys that you can just put in any situation as far as, okay, he's a 3-4 and everything like that. That's why I don't buy any more into this day and age of ball-based defenses anymore, because there's so much sub-package and thing like that. You're pretty much down 4 linemen, 5 DBs anyways. But, no, they this decision. And then you look at, like, some of the names that are out there. There's some good damn guys out there that are defensive coordinators that are fired head coaches and got the job because they were good defensive coordinators and leaders of men. So, I mean, if you go and get Matt Eberflus. Eberflus was a hell of a defensive coordinator at Indianapolis. Like, I got the job in Chicago.
Right.
There's certain guys like that. So I would expect, in my opinion, that they would go somewhere in that route like that. You know how I feel about Steve Wilkes. That's my man. He's also a very qualified head coach candidate also. So he would be a knockout hire if that's the case. But, yeah, no, I mean, if you're trying to get one of them dudes, you might want to go ahead and, you know, put some fillers out, and then it's all about, like, because Rod's defensive guy, how much control when he's turned it all the way over, because he saw what happens when he turned it all the way over, and that's one of the biggest things whenever you coach a side of the football, when you become the head coach, is trusting somebody with your expertise of why you got the job. And so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I mean, look, of course the hire that they make is important, and hopefully whoever the guy is that they get does such a great job that he's not here for very long, because that would mean that he gets a chance to be a head coach somewhere else. Coordinators are kind of, you know, the lifespan of failure in the NFL, we're pretty familiar with it, right? Like, general managers get 3 to 5 years.
Right.
If you don't work, then you're probably going to go. Coaches, about 2 to 4 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Coordinators, whether you're good or you're bad, like if you're really, really good or really, really bad, you're probably only in that spot for a couple years, right? Because if you do a great job, you're going to get a look as a head coach. If you do a terrible job, or if the team – it's hard to say the coordinator did a terrible job. The team just didn't live up to expectations. Maybe that was entirely on the guy. Maybe it was a group effort. To me, this one feels more like a group effort because they were right where they've been for the last 10 years, basically.
Right.
I mean, they finished right around 23rd, 24th in the NFL. That's where their average finishing position in terms of defensive ranking has been for years now.
Neat players.
So they were the same. Yeah, exactly. They were the same. So, I mean, you get, you know what it is. You get hired as a coordinator. You realize the potential downside of it is you get scapegoated.
Yep.
And to me, that's what this is. I understand you have, someone has to pay for it and someone has to go. But the idea that that's going to solve the issues that plague this football team, dumb. Can't sell me on that one.
It starts a process of rebuilding something, rebuilding a side of the football. And that's the defensive side. And obviously you got to start with the coordinators. Then you got to look and see what he does, what he wants as far as his personnel, where he's been before, and what made him have success. And then you go from there, and then you go to the drafting and the free agents. And then, hell, obviously trying to or looking to retain the players that are on your team also. And how does this player fit in what this guy's done over a period of time of him coordinating whatever side of the ball that is. But, yeah, you got to get this hire right, but you got to get the players right too. And I mean, that's the most important thing right now for this football team going forward is that side of football. I know we talked about it last week, and you made a great and excellent point. This team, this organization hasn't cared about defense the way it should.
Yeah, they haven't prioritized it the way that they've prioritized the other side of the ball.
And this has to be.
This is the start of that.
And that's what I'm saying, because you felt it from a standpoint of, well, look who you have at quarterback. We got to do everything we can to make this guy successful for our organization to be successful. And it's not just happened here in Atlanta. It happens all over the league. You know, when you have a strong something, you try to make the other side of the ball not a weakness or the weak link. Obviously, it's going to be the weaker of the two units, but you just like, can we just hold it together? The bend but don't break aspect of defense, pretty much. Is that what you try to do when you have a quarterback like you had as Matt Ryan, because you want to emphasize him being successful,
right?
Because if he's successful, we're going to be successful. And then we're going to have some bumps and bruises and some close games and all those disappointing losses because the defense blew a coverage or something like that, or it could get the quarterback on the ground. But we'll risk that because we got this quarterback. And so that's where the Falcons have been. Hopefully now they put a bigger priority, especially considering how young your defense, your offensive parts are right now. And so you could find a way to maybe spend some money on that defense side, whatever's allocated left over from what you have to do as far as the quarterback.
Right. Because like it sucks because they finally have like the dream blueprint scenario of a starting quarterback that you – like it's three games. So as much as I want to yell from the mountaintops that Michael Penix is the future and he's going to be the savior and all that kind of stuff, I hope that's true. Who knows? You played three really good games, One of them was a very good game. Hopefully that continues on into the future. What you do know is you're going to have a starting quarterback on a rookie contract next year, which is a great situation normally, financially, unless you have to buy out the backup quarterback.
Exactly.
Or not backup or whatever, or even if he's here, if you have to pay him. You have to pay it. Like, I guess if he's here and you're paying him, at least he's here to be the backup quarterback. Either way, it's an anchor around your neck financially.
Yes.
So you don't really, like Terry Fontenot said it almost as like, everything's fine. This is what we planned for, to be eighth in the league in terms of salary for our quarterback. Nah, if the dude's not here, that sucks.
That sucks, like, exactly.
Yeah. If you're eighth in the league and the biggest reason why you're top 10 in terms of quarterback salary allocation is not here, then yeah. Yeah, it's not good.
No, it's not.
You don't really get to cash in on the...
It's not. And, you know, it's funny because I supposed to do something this afternoon with Cleveland Station, right? They asked me to come on to talk about this. And I'm just sitting there thinking, like, because it was basically, we want to talk about Kirk Cousins and everything, and I'm sure that a lot of people in Cleveland are looking at it from... Well,
sure.
You know, and I'm just like, really?
No, you got to go on there and sell, Randy.
Yeah, like
sell.
Am I supposed to go out here and try to sell these Cleveland people?
Who knows?
After all the crap they just went through with this quarterback situation, who re-injures his Achilles?
Well, he's not going to have anything to like. The off-field stuff's not going to happen.
Yeah,
so you got a Boy Scout.
But no, I'm just like, and then I thought to myself,
who knows, man? The Haslams might be listening.
But you think about,
you got to go on there and sell this man.
Like, only the Cleveland Browns would trade for Kirk Cousins. They would. Probably
you got to find a franchise worse than you.
Yes.
And they are.
Yes. Yes.
You just lie to him, Randy. You know, he's actually, I think, I don't know. I saw signs.
You saw signs of
life. I saw signs
like
of life. You got to lie to these people, Randy.